This is my my assistant tonight. Her name is Sydney. Load up. Hey, come on. Come on. Load up. Come on. Hey, Sydney. Load up. Sit. Sit. Stay. Okay. She's a little nervous, too. So, as most of you know, I grew up hunting and fishing, so most of what I use analogies with is hunting and fishing. So Sydney's here tonight to kind of help me out. She's my buddy. She goes everywhere with me. Whether it's to the store or actually out hunting and fishing, she's usually right there in the car, in the boat, wherever we're at. Tonight I want to talk about staying focused through temptations. We all have different things we struggle with. You know, some of us, it can be money, relationships, alcohol, whatever it is, we all struggle with it. Some of you know who I am, where I come from. I grew up in this church, all that kind of stuff. I'm 25 years old. I played soccer for 2 years up in Kansas. Came back, kind of was trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. College wasn't for me, so I had to find something else. Ended up deciding to go to taxidermy school and spent 2 months in Montana, which is a long, long way away. But I own my own taxidermy shop now, just kind of small, doing little stuff here and there when I can. Like I said earlier, I love the outdoors. If I could, I would move out in the middle of nowhere and probably become some old hermit out in the woods, that everybody makes fun of. That's pretty much well known to everybody. What most people don't know is, like I said, I failed out of college. College was not my thing. I also had a failed engagement. I was engaged 2 years ago. And then while I was in Montana, she called and broke the engagement and the entire relationship off. I was devastated. I didn't know where to turn, what to do. I was ready to come home. And along with that, things that I had struggled with in the past came back full force. Cursing, pornography, Everything, your typical teenage guy struggles with, that was me, I didn't know what to do. So that has kind of taken a big place in my life, What do we got to do to step up and take care of these temptations that we face day in and day out? Like I said, I'm a duck hunter. That's my favorite thing to do. I love going out and shooting ducks. I love training dogs. Like I said, she's my buddy. To me, there's nothing better than waking up at 3 or 4 in the morning, walking out in the middle of nowhere, freezing my tail off, with my little brother and 3 or 4 other guys, just to sit there and shoot a few ducks, carry on a conversation, hey, how was your week, just messing around, telling jokes, pushing each other in the water, that kind of stuff. Call me crazy, but I love it. One thing that comes along with being a duck hunter is training retrievers. And that is not an easy task, because a lot of the time, they're just like you are. They're stubborn. They're hard-headed. They don't want to listen, especially this one. She has her moments. Some days she's really good, and other days she's got an attitude. But we're just like a retriever in some ways. If you take 15, 20 minutes a day, go out, do what you need to do, fetch with her, teach her to heel, teach her to sit, teach her to stay, whatever it is you're working on that day, 10, 15 minutes, go on and do something else, But it's the same way with us. If we'll take just that little time each day to do what we need to do, then it makes things a whole lot easier. This Friday, me and Kyle and my buddy Kane, we were out duck hunting out on Ulugah Lake. Morning started out a little rough. We cruising down the river in the boat, and we hit a stump, breaks the shear pin in the prop. Don't have any tools, you know. So we're sitting there, you know, 10 miles from the truck, 30 miles from, you know, town or anybody else that can help us. And so after a few smashed fingers and, you know, stuff like that, we get it fixed. And we finally get to our spot after daylight, and we set up. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than getting set up late. Ducks are flying. There's ducks everywhere. But they're not wanting in where we want, or where we're at. So we sat there till about 9 o'clock and decide, you know what, we're seeing a bunch, but they're not wanting where we're at. Let's get up and move. So we get everything picked up, get in the boat, and take off. And we see this tree out in the lake. We're like, okay, let's go out in this tree. They're kind of rafting up out here. We're going to go sit in this tree. It's this big old willow tree. It's probably a 60-foot tall willow. But it's been blown over by all the high winds and the high water. You know, it's just uprooted. The big root ball is on the bottom of it, still intact. And so we get out there, and right as we pull up under the limbs of this tree, this big old group of ducks comes flying over. You know, Kyle starts calling at them, and I jump out and grab my gun. I'm the only one that's got the gun ready and ready to go, you know. So these ducks come flying over, and they're way up there. So I look at Kyle and I go, do I shoot one? Why not, you know? Might as well. We don't have any decoys out, you know. So I pop one off, and just, I couldn't believe I hit this duck. It just, and Sydney did her job. She went and fetched. We were proud of her. So we get everything set up, and we're sitting there. 10, 15 minutes go by, and, you know, ducks are flying. We're not getting any of them to come in and commit. And then this Kyle decides he's going to go adjust the decoys or something. I don't know what he was doing. There's no telling. When Kyle gets a feeling, you just go with it, because this kid is uncanny. But he goes out, and he's messing around in the decoys, and all of a sudden I hear him go, shut up, there's a duck. Do not shoot me. You know, so me and my buddy Kane, we're all hunkered down, and I'm calling on the calls, you know, and it circles around behind us and comes, I mean, it's 10 foot off the water, just as fast as it can go. Well, I have my gun laying, you know, on the tree, and I'm calling, so I don't have my gun in my hand. So it comes flying through, and I go, Kane, get it, you know, sit down. And so he shoots. Boom! Well, after he shoots, I reach down and grab my gun and pull up on the duck to shoot it. Right as I start squeezing the trigger, Sydney hears that first gunshot and jumps up right in front of my gun barrel. We are just like Sydney. We see something that tempts us, and boom, we're gone. We're completely not focused on waiting on what God is telling us to do. You know, what we don't realize at that moment in time is that that decision could be the end. You know, as crazy as that is, we're just talking about temptation. Sometimes it could be the end. So we have to stay focused. There's so many things that, especially young people, youth, young adults, you know, even full-grown adults, there are things we struggle with on a day-to-day basis. Relationships, money, addictions, you know, the list just, you know, it's crazy. So, like I said, we got to stay focused. Y'all as young adults, youth, You're in a time in your life where you're making decisions. Where do I want to go to college? What do I want to do for the rest of my life? Who do I want to spend the rest of my life with? You know, these are hard decisions, especially when your mind is on something it shouldn't be. In Romans 8, 1 through 8, if I can get this stuff settled here, it says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, it was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind of the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So without Jesus, without him coming down and saying, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to die for each and every single one of you. We don't have any hope. He's declared us not guilty and has offered us freedom from sin. And along with that freedom, he's given us the power to do what he has called us to do. You know, whether that is, you know, going out and preaching, or like me as a duck hunter. I want to use duck hunting, fishing, whatever. I want to use that as an outreach. Whatever your passion is, God's given that to you for a reason. The Spirit of life that it talks about in verse 2 is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power behind the rebirth of every Christian. Sit down.
I know. Hey.
See? We're just like Sydney. We get confused sometimes, don't we? Come on. Come on, load. Load up. Really? Come on. Hey. Come on. There you go. Lay down. Lay down. Like I said, we lose track of what we're doing. But the Spirit is the one that gives us the power that we need to live the life that God has set for us. In verse 3, it talks about Jesus being sent as a sacrifice. In the Old Testament, animal sacrifices were offered at the temple. The sacrifices showed the Israelites the seriousness of sin. That, you know, it's not just something that you can kind of, you know, sin is death. Like, and it has to be paid. It has to be paid with blood. In verses 5 and 6, Paul divides the people into two categories: those who are dominated by their sinful nature and those who are controlled by the Spirit. If it weren't for Christ, we would all fall into that first category. But because Jesus came and he died on that cross, we now have the power to say, you know what? I'm not going to lose track. I'm not going to jump in front of that gun barrel. I'm gonna stay focused on what God wants me to do and where I need to be. In 7 and 8, just like the verse says, if our mind is consumed by the flesh, then it's hostile to God. And anybody that is in that state of mind, you just, it, it's hard. You, God can't be in the same place when you're thinking about the addictions and the relationships and everything else. I've been there. The next verse I want to talk about is Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, I know it says money in the verse, but you can replace money with whatever it is. Jesus says we can only have one master. We live in a materialistic society where many people do serve money or whatever, you know, whatever it is you struggle with. People spend all their lives collecting and storing only to pass away and leave behind what their temptation was. Their desire for that money and what it can buy far outweighs their commitment to God and their spiritual matters. The same can be said for anything. Whatever you store up and spend most of your time on is what you think about day in and day out. Like I said, money is not necessarily the only thing that can cause us to fall short. It can be anything. Like I said earlier, it can be the relationships we have with people. It doesn't have to be, you know, boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. It can be relationships with friends, relationships with mentors, whatever it is. You have to stay diligent on what all is going on in your life. To help us when we do struggle with our temptations, there are some things we can do to stay focused. Number one, prayer. Prayer is a huge tool that God has given us. It's our way of communicating with Him. The next is reading the Bible. And not just reading it and being like, oh, it says this. No, dig into the Bible. Read what it says and then research it. Go in and figure out what's the deeper meaning to what God is trying to tell me here. And don't twist what the Bible says. Don't take one verse and twist what God's trying to say. Read the whole chapter. Figure out what He's telling you and take it to heart. Don't twist it to what you need it or want it to say.
What's the matter, baby? You nervous? Yeah, I saw it.
We're almost done. Those are great tools. You know, you can do those on your own time. But what I want to talk about... Nope.
Sit. Stay.
What I want to talk about is the relationships that we need that help us stay focused. Whether it's a mentor, an accountability partner, a pastor, whatever it is. A mentor is usually someone that you look up to, someone older than you. For me, Brian is one of my mentors. Yes, he said he looks at me like a brother. I look at him as a brother too. But I can go to Brian and be like, okay, I don't understand this. What the heck is going on? You know, and Brian will set me down and we'll talk about it. And when I'm not all there and I'm just angry and upset about something, he's there to just kind of, you know what, you're overreacting, calm down, you know. The other is an accountability partner. An accountability partner is usually someone that's close to your age. For me, my accountability partner is my friend Davey, which he lives in North Carolina right now. He's going to seminary school, which stinks, let me tell you. Like, having your best friend move 18 hours away is no fun. But to this day, I can still call Davey and be like, dude, I'm struggling. I need some help. Pray for me, you know. And it doesn't matter what he's doing. He'll take that time to sit down and pray with me and talk to me about it. Yeah, sometimes he has to kind of slap me around a little bit and tell me, kind of like Brian does, you know, you're overreacting. But that's what we need. And the last thing is we need to come together as a community. As a church community, we need to step up and say, hey man, I'm here for you. Not just as individuals, but as a whole group. And just not the people we see on Sundays and Wednesdays. Like, we need to be able to call any one of us and be like, hey, I need prayer. Maybe you don't want to tell them what it's about, but you still have that community to go to and say, listen, I'm struggling with something or there's something going on in my life. I need prayer. And we can come together as a community and step up and support these people, whether it's you or somebody else. Each of these tools God's given us to use, they're free. You know, you don't have to ask for them. They're out there. Use them. But it is up to you whether you're going to use those tools. We have to understand that we're not in this by ourselves. You know, we are a community. We're here for a reason. God has put us in this church, in this community, this town, this state, for you may never know the reason, but he's put you here for a purpose. He's here to help us overcome temptations that attack us every day, whether it be, you know, money, pornography, whatever it is. But we also have that choice to face these temptations on our own. But when we do that, we fail. There's no way around it. So, like I said, if you're struggling with something, find that mentor, find that accountability partner, pray. You know, you have that temptation. Stop what you're doing right then and there and just say a short little prayer. You know, it's amazing what, you know, a little 30-second prayer can do for you. I'm going to go ahead and pray so everybody would bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to come up here and speak and kind of share what is on my heart. I pray that you used me tonight to speak to somebody's heart. I know there's struggles in this church. I know people deal with financial problems, you know, whatever it is, God. I pray that you speak to them and let them know that they're not alone in what they're struggling with, and that you will always be there, and that we as a church will always be there for them. Amen.